Right now, we're very happy to welcome to our program Manji Dawoodi. He's the Executive Director of the Connecticut Chapter of CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, and Senior Program Officer at the Center for the Study of Islam and Democracy. Manji, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Just say a word for our listeners about the work that you do at CARE, both locally here in Connecticut and nationally.
Basically, CARE is a civil rights organization for Muslims in America, and we have a chapter here in Connecticut. We have about close to 30 chapters around the country, and we have actually a spike of other states that are considering opening other offices in Connecticut, in across the nation. Basically, our organization takes on issues of discrimination that involves Muslims. We take specific cases of discrimination, or sometimes, well, most of these cases are a misunderstanding of our religion, and we try to mediate, try to explain our faith, try to guide our members of our community, talking to them about their rights under the Constitution, under the law, and we try to mitigate most of these cases by sitting down and talking to people, either about their rights or about the law itself. So it is very rare that that CARE takes a case all the way up to the courts. We do that sometimes, every now and then, but those are rare cases. Most of the cases we solve through dialogue and discussions.
Mm-hmm. Well, Manji, as of course, most of our listeners are well aware, there is a legal battle going on right now. And I would also add there is a battle that has really stoked a lot of passion among people all across this country, where they've come out to protest and express their opposition to President Trump's Muslim ban, where he's basically frozen immigration to this country from seven predominantly Muslim nations around the world. And that's viewed by many opponents as discriminatory, especially when you consider President Trump's specific exception for what he calls minority religions in these predominantly Muslim nations, i.e. Christians. We have a judge's order that has put on hold or halted this immigration ban. This is going to the courts. We're not sure how long this is going to take. But, Manji, maybe I can get your take and your response to this Trump initiative, this executive order, and what it's meant to you here in Connecticut and Muslims all across this country.
Right. Well, the issue is that the president took on a major major issue for this country and under the banner of national security, and he, single-handedly, with a stroke of a pen, decided to ban Muslims from these seven countries from coming to this to the United States, freezing completely refugees, especially from Syria, bringing it to a halt. And we know how dire the situation is. Millions of people are in refugee camps in Turkey, Jordan, Lebanon, and even inside Syria itself. So this executive order hurts a lot of people. The issue also is that this executive order did not give any chance for a meaningful debate, meaningful discussion. Something with this magnitude, you would think that the president would submit a bill or a resolution to the to the House of Representatives, to the Senate, and have this body, this legislative body, debate this issue and talk about it and bring experts who can inform their decision about our national security. The president didn't do any of that. He just circumvented all this normal procedure and issued this ban on his own. And it had a massive effect. It sent a shockwave throughout this nation and even abroad. People who were on vacation could not come back. People who, students who were visiting their families overseas, they found themselves stranded, couldn't come back to their schools. many of our members of our community, even here in the state of Connecticut, who have business dealings in other countries, and they've been in this country for a long time. They are green card holders, they're on visas. They couldn't travel to do their jobs. And so this is an executive order that affected a, you know, a large number of our community. And so we have to do something. And one of those is our national office decided to file a lawsuit, just like many other entities. ACLU filed an injunction against him in New York, and other organizations filed, or even states filed lawsuits against this executive order. But more than that, people wanted to express their rejection to this attitude by the president. And if you recall, last weekend, yeah, here in Connecticut, we called for a demonstration to show our solidarity with all the other major airports around the country. And we called for a demonstration at the airport of Bradley International here in Connecticut. And the decision was taken on Saturday evening. Literally, it was around 7 or 8 p.m. That's when the members of our board and our team here of Connecticut, we called for this demonstration. And we were stunned by the response. This was the largest demonstration that we have ever organized. This is a historic gathering of that number of people rallying at the of this airport, and it was amazing to see the number of people that came out in solidarity, expressing their complete rejection of this un-American decision that the president unilaterally took. So we're, in that sense, we're encouraged that Muslims are not alone, that the American people, at least the overwhelming people that we've seen respond to this are standing with them firmly. We've seen people come from various different backgrounds. The Jewish leaders, Jewish people came, Christians, other people of faith, people of no faith at all. They just came because they felt this is inhumane, this is discriminatory, and they could not stay home without expressing their rejection of this decision.
Manji, in your conversations with those who poured out to Bradley International Airport, probably emblematic of many of those activists who came out and people who are not so active in politics generally. But what was the common denominator that you heard from people you talked about, why they had stepped up to come out and express their opposition to this travel ban by the Trump administration?
It was a very simple but profound principle that America is for all. It's not for a specific religion. It's not for specific people, but it's for everybody who is coming here, believe in this nation. You know, America's history has known to open its doors to refugees. We stumble, we make mistakes, but we correct them and we move forward. And I think just people that came, I've seen some of our Jewish friends. One of them had the Star of David on his shirt, and I spoke with some of these folks, and I said, what made you come out here today? They said they could not stay home. This was such a blatant or flagrant violation of the soul of America, and they could not stay on the sideline and watch. They wanted to be out in the airport standing with us, rejecting this order. And so the response was massive, and the response did not stay or just for the airport. And even when we went home, several messages we've received, all of our board members, we received tons of messages from people who are expressing their solidarity with us. Many of them are offering their services. They want to volunteer. They want to help in any capacity. We have a few lawyers who emailed us and said that they're willing to volunteer their time to help some of the refugees, some of the immigration cases, if there is any, and others who, even some major law firms who actually wanted to connect with CARE National and offer their services with respect to the lawsuit that CARE National has filed.
We're speaking with Manji Dawoodi. He's executive director of the Connecticut chapter of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and senior program officer at the Center for the Study of Islam and Democracy. Manji, what does it mean to Muslims here in Connecticut and around the country when they see this outpouring of people coming to the airport? And as you described, it was just a few hours later. It was a few hours that you put the call out, and lo and behold, you had massive numbers of people flock to Bradley Airport. You know, it's certainly not a large port of entry for people coming into the U.S. from the Middle East, but it was a symbolic location for the protest. When you see people of all faiths, religions, or no religions at all come out in solidarity, what does it mean to people here in Connecticut of the Muslim faith?
Quite simply, it restored our faith, the Muslim community's faith in this nation, in its constitution, in its principles. Many people from around, I'm originally from Tunisia, and when people heard about this ban, they messaged us. They're like, what's going on? I mean, what happened to America? But quickly, within a day or two, when people started marching everywhere in the streets and demonstrating in airports, welcoming refugees, demanding that those who were detained to be released. When we've seen pictures from around some of the airports where you have volunteer lawyers sitting in corners making turn some of these waiting rooms into, makeshift offices, handling some of these cases. And so we were sharing that. We were conveying that message that this is the America that we know, that this is the true spirit of America, that people are standing with us. When we heard about the judge who issued the order to the stay for the executive order, we started talking about how, being the president of the United States doesn't mean that you can do anything you want, that there's checks and balances, that this is a country that we're very proud to be part of. So seeing the massive people that came, standing with us, chanting, having signs of solidarity, offering their services and volunteering to help us and help our community, restores our faith in this nation and its principles and its constitution. And that's tremendous. That is, in effect, that is the most powerful response against radicals, against terrorists, against those who hate America and they want to harm this nation. This is the most powerful response that we can send them. I my work with the Center for the Study of Islam and Democracy in Washington, D.C., and we have another office in Tunisia, and most of our work is about democracy, but respecting the Constitution, respecting, the separation of powers. And so when we do these trainings, because Tunisia is a young democracy, and so we send, many of experts from here to go and talk about the democratic system in America. And so, when people question us, we needed to answer them. And I think that number, those people that came out to the airports and around the nation, send a resounding message to the rest of the Middle East and the world that America is still a great place to be.
Manji, during a very divisive presidential election campaign, Donald Trump infamously called for a Muslim ban and a registry for Muslims in this country. It seems he's following through on a lot of that, what many people thought was rhetoric at the time, but he seems to be doubling down on those campaign pledges. How do you respond to Trump and many of his supporters who say that Islamic terrorism is a grave threat to this country and Trump is only trying to protect the nation from future attacks by what he calls extreme vetting? that's certainly the rationale for what's happening now for Trump and his supporters. Why do you think that isn't a valid argument?
Right. Look, Trump is not the only one who wants to keep America safe. We want to keep America safe because we are part of this nation. Our kids who were born here and raised here are part of this nation. They want to keep America safe. So if we want to have a true conversation about how and what is the best way to keep America safe, then we all have a stake in that, and we all need to sit down around the table and have a really concrete discussion on how best to do that, and listen to the experts and study the numbers and look at the facts as they are, and then design a system or look at our vetting system that's in place now and see how can we best improve on that. And so all of that didn't happen. And that makes us question, from listening to his rhetoric throughout the campaign and that it, you know, continued to after the campaign, him talking about Islam hates us, him talking about, you know, things that were not true at all when he says, you know, he's seen Muslims celebrating the 9/11 attack in New Jersey somewhere, which was not true at all. When he questions the patriotism of immigrants and Muslims, I mean, all of that makes us wonder, is his rhetoric or his excuse about keeping America safe, is it just that smokescreen to implement agendas, to tell you the truth, of some people that he has in the White House that we are really questioning? You know, Steve Bannon, General Flynn, and these are people who are on record voicing their hate and their criticism, not just to radical Islam, as they like to put it, but to Islam itself, to Muslims. General Flynn called Islam a cancer, described Islam as an ideology, not a religion. Those are very dangerous things to say, and these are people who hold very powerful positions now in the White House and on the National Security Council. So if Donald Trump really interested in keeping America safe, let's sit down and be the voice of America that the Muslims are part of. When it comes to radicalization, when it comes to terrorists, who some of them are Muslims, many of them want to do harm to this country, your first line of defense is the Muslim community. Don't alienate us. Don't turn us into, lump us with the terrorists. But we are not part of the problem. We are part of the solution. And if we have an excellent relationship between our community and law enforcement, that is an asset. And so many of the thwarted terrorist incidents here in this country was such because of the information that was provided by members of our community to law enforcement. So talking about keeping America safe, but at the same time alienating the whole community and painting them with a wide brush that we're all part of the problem, that in itself is dangerous, and that in itself undermines the security and safety of this nation.
Thank you for that, Manji.
We hope that the president and his team would come to their senses and walk back these executive orders and really open a true debate about how best we can keep America safe.
Well, Manji, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you this. How can our listeners be of assistance in this moment of certainly extreme and urgent issues coming to a head? Certainly we could call it a crisis of a type. What can people do? And certainly please also provide a web address if there's more information people can get there as well.
Right. Our web address is www.care, which is CAIR.com. That is our national website. A lot of information there. You can even access it and contact us through that. We have our local website or a Facebook page, which is care-ct.com or Care Connecticut, our Facebook page. Keep in touch with us. My advice to my fellow residents of Connecticut is to know a Muslim. Almost in every city in Connecticut, there is an Islamic center or a mosque. Go knock on the door and introduce yourself and know these people. These are great people, great community. Some of them might be intimidated. Some of them just came yesterday, but others who have been here for generations. And so we are part of this nation. We are part of this state. We're proud to be part of it. So get to know one another, as the Quran, directs us to do, because in knowing one another, we will appreciate one another. And I think that's the best way for us, or at least the first step to do, is to get to know one another. And there's plenty of chances to volunteer helping refugees and helping people who just came to this country stand up on their feet. Also get Muslims involved. We have great talents. We have a lot of, great minds, that could also, if you have a project in your church, in your synagogue, in the school, ask Muslims to volunteer and be part of it. You'll find great assets to your work and your projects.
Well said. Thank you so much, Manji, for your important work in our state and across the country, across the world, actually, with your involvement internationally. And we appreciate you making time during a very busy moment for yourself and your organization. So we'll stay in touch and appreciate, again, all this critical work that you and your colleagues are focused on right now. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Manji. Good night. That's Manji Dawoodi, Executive Director of the Connecticut Chapter of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. And Manji is also a Senior Program Officer at the Center for the Study of Islam and Democracy, works internationally.